Imagine with me for a moment that you're in Rome. The year is 100. You're a Roman citizen, and you had just entered the Colosseum to enjoy some afternoon entertainment. You get to your seat, and you notice as you look down on the, into the arena from your seat that there's a gate that opens, and in the middle of the arena slowly walk a huddle of men. And you notice that they're scared, but you can also tell that there's a quiet confidence to these men. There's kind of an unspeakable joy to them. You turn to the person sitting next to you there in the Colosseum, and you ask him, "Do you know who those guys are?" And the person responds, "They're some of those who call themselves Christians." You notice a different set of gates open, and out from those gates come a herd of lions, and the crowd goes wild. And as these men meet their fate, you hear them cry out to this guy named Jesus. As you hear them cry out to Jesus, your heart is moved to wondering who this guy is that they cry out to. Much more recently, some of us may remember just a few years ago, the 21 Coptic martyrs who were killed by ISIS. As ISIS typically does, they make a video of their executions, and there's this bone-chilling video of 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt, and they're all being led with their hands behind their back along the shore on the beach there, and they're all wearing an orange jumpsuit. They eventually, or 21 of them, are kneeling there right on the shore in the sand. And they would go to each man and ask each one of the men, "Do you reject Jesus?" And they would say no, and they would be beheaded. Turns out that of those 21, only 20 of them were Christians. 20 of them were from Egypt. One of them was from Chad, and he was not a Christian until that day. Previously, he had not heard the gospel proclaimed. He did not know Jesus until he watched those others who were in line with him, and he watched them pray for those who are about to take their lives and their friends' lives. And then when they got to the man who was not a Christian, not yet, and they asked him, "Do you reject Jesus?" He kind of motions to the others who were in line with him. And he says this, "Their God is my God." The credible witness of the 20 men there moved this man to say, "Whoever their God is, that's my God." He converted on the spot. I find this to be helpful in seeing what it is the Lord might be saying to us in the gospel this weekend. Jesus already has his 12 apostles, and now he appoints 72 others to go out further to announce that the kingdom of God is at hand. And he sends them out. You notice he gives them a number of different instructions, things to do, things to bring with them, not to bring with them, things to say, not to say. And he makes sure to tell them that he is sending them out like lambs among wolves. That is to say, he's saying to these guys, "Gents, it's going to be choppy waters out there." And for the past 2,000 years of Christianity, there's always been times when the waters have been more choppy and less choppy. But Christianity, especially Catholicism, has always been hated by the wider culture. It's just that there are certain times when the wider culture has not just hated the Catholic Church, but despised it. And in those times, Jesus' warning of being sent out like lambs among wolves, it makes more sense in those times. And much like the year 100, we're in one of those times now. Father Mike Schmitz recently articulated it this way by saying that most of history, much of the culture, beliefs, and the Christian beliefs, they matched. They were together. They were one. For example, that marriage is for life. The marriage is between one man and one woman. The culture and the church were one on this. The culture in many ways was formed by the church and what God had revealed to man through the scriptures and in the church. The end of marriage, the twofold end of marriage, of being unitive end and a procreative end. Also the understanding that all life has dignity from conception to natural death. It used to be that the culture and the Christian beliefs were matched. They were in line, on par with each other. That is simply no longer the case. On many issues of which we're on par with the culture and Christian beliefs, and no longer more, the waters have become much more choppy. We'd say maybe about 50, 60 years ago, there was this massive cultural shift where we've moved from this last sprinkle of Christendom into a cultural framework which is openly hostile to Christian revelation and assumptions. And by all accounts, the open hostility to Christian revelation and assumptions, it's gonna get worse. In the coming years and decades, it's about to get very difficult to live as a Christian. That is to say, now when Jesus sends out his disciples, the 72, and sends them on mission to proclaim the gospel, things have not changed in the sense that the harvest is still abundant, as he says in the gospel today. But in the time where Christian beliefs and the culture beliefs on many issues that once were in line are no longer on par and no longer in line, perhaps evangelization, perhaps spreading the gospel, which is good news, it means good news, which is not received as good news at all. Perhaps the evangelization needs to look a little different. Maybe back to when Jesus sends out his 72 in the gospel. And he speaks into this approach, I think, in the gospel today. When he says, into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you. Do not move about from one house to another. Jesus is saying when Christianity is faced with hostility, especially when the Christian beliefs and the culture beliefs once were on par or no longer in par, it's especially important to lead with love. Relationships have to be built. Bonds have to be formed. If there's no love, there's no chance. If we just say the church teaches this and the church teaches that, and we drop these truth bombs, like it or leave it, that's not what Jesus says in the gospel today. Enter a house. First say peace to this household. Build bonds with people who think differently than us. That's really important today. People who think differently than us, to build bonds, to build friendships, so trust can be formed. He says, stay there, eat with them, drink with them, so conversations can be had. The gospel must be proclaimed with love. Love is the bridge that which truth can pass over, if there's not a bridge of love, there's no chance for truth to pass. But leading with love does not mean watering down the truth that has been revealed to us by God. That's when we articulate what the church teaches and why. When we teach the way we teach about marriage. Today, we're called bigots. We're called that we hate. That we're using hate speech. Let it never be the case that that is the case for us. But it's always for our doing that we lead with love. That we try to build bonds, to foster friendships. But Jesus is very clear in the gospel today. He tells his apostles or his disciples before they go out to 72 and says, even though you're going to try to maybe build bond and build relationships with people who think differently with you, so relate a bond of love can be formed of which truth can pass over, sometimes right away you're going to enter in a house and it's just not going to be he's not going to be received at all. You're going to be straight up rejected. He tells his disciples that today. It's going to happen. And when he says that, he says, whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and shake off the dust. Meaning, pray. Fast for them. But don't have bitterness. Don't have a judgmental spirit of, I'm better than you. But still be the face of Christ to them. Jesus says, you did what I asked you to do. The church does not proselytize. Instead, she grows by attraction. And in order for others to see her as being attractive, she needs credible witnesses. And in order for us to be credible witnesses, two things need to happen. The first, we need to know the faith. We've got to know why the church teaches the way she teaches. The reasons why, so we can understand and articulate them. And that's especially the case with issues that were once in line with wider society and the culture that are no longer matched or paired. Father Don and I have tried to make it easier in the last 2 years with having resources and pointing to resources, whether it's the Catholic Lighthouse resources of CDs and audio talks and books out in the narthex, or having a parish-wide subscription to formed.org. We also just recently spent a lot of money to allow all of us to have access, free access, anytime we want to YouTube. That's a joke. We all have access to YouTube all the time. All of us. A plethora of information at our fingertips, used wisely to know our faith, to study the reasons why, to become credible witnesses. And secondly, this needs to happen. The time to go all in, if we have not gone all in yet, is now. Not tomorrow. Today. It's not a coincidence that this gospel comes on the heels of last weekend's gospel, where there's a sense of urgency in Jesus' call as he calls those to come follow him and says, come now, surrender your life to me. Make the decision. Are you in or are you out? And let's get to work. The Lord sends us on mission in a world that is ever more increasingly so hostile to Christianity. It's in need of credible witnesses, much like those men on that beach. And it's imperative that we have courage. And we may find it helpful for that courage to look back at other times in our history, other times when the culture beliefs and the church's beliefs were not in line. We may find it helpful to look back at the year 100 and peek at the blood that was spilled inside the Colosseum.